It says, "And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them." This is God's word. I want to spend a few minutes thinking with you, not just about these verses, but about the Christmas story in general. We're going to focus on what I would describe as the four responses to the good news that Jesus had come. But before we look at those four responses, I simply want to draw your attention to the fact that this story and this part of the story is filled with incredible joy. And I want to note that because for many of us, we have come from a year or maybe 2 years, or maybe we're still in the middle of a time of life where that joy seems hard to find. And to recognize that helps us understand why this particular part of the Bible records not just the news that Jesus had come, that Jesus is born and the angels are singing, "Christ is born," but it helps us understand the role of joy in the story that we are reading. These four responses are all responses that we find in the various characters that come in these verses that I just read. And these four responses, as I'm going to tell you, are all responses that result from joy. And I want to again note to you that that response is a natural part of what it means for us to know that Jesus has come. But it also stands at a very important time, perhaps, in your life as a person, as you have lived through all kinds of difficult things, or maybe you're living through difficult times as I'm speaking to you tonight. So let me refer you then to these four responses that are found here in Luke chapter 2. And the first one comes in verse 17. Again, I'll read that verse to you, and it says, "And when they," that is the shepherds, "saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." What is the first response that we might have to the news that Jesus Christ has come? It is this: we could tell the story of Jesus' arrival. Or put it this way, it is the story told. That is the first response. Now, it may seem rather striking to you that the main characters in this portion of the story are not the most important people in the ancient world, but these are shepherds. These were ordinary people, part of the working class. They were blue collar. These were the sort of people that ordinarily didn't get a lot of press. These were the folks who just went out in the fields and did their job, and that's what they did day after day after day. But they are those to whom the news first comes that Jesus Christ has arrived. And once they receive that news, they do not keep it to themselves, but they proclaim it widely, as a different translation of the Bible says. And the proclaiming widely results from the content of what they are proclaiming. It is not simply that they are happy in the moment, but they are excited because of the news of what the angels have said. And what is that news? The news is not just that a baby has been born. If you are a relatively new parent, you might be able to remember exactly what he was like when your child was born. It was very exciting. I've had that 5 times, and now the most recent has been 9 years ago, and some of the details are fading from my mind, but I still can remember it was a time of incredible joy. But this story is not just that. It's not just that a baby has been born. Hey, look, wonderful. It is the impact of who that baby is. This is Jesus who is born. This is the Jesus who has been talked about for generations, for years and years and years. The Old Testament people, everything that precedes this part of the Bible is a record of those who have been looking forward to the coming of Jesus. It isn't just the arrival of a child after 9 months of expectation. This is the arrival of Jesus after generations of expectation. This is a celebration that cannot be kept inside. Some of you might have the experience, especially if you're a child, of getting some very good news. Maybe tomorrow morning or maybe later on tonight, you're going to have reason to celebrate really good news. Maybe you open that gigantic box. I remember my oldest sister one Christmas getting a gigantic box. No kidding, it was about 3 feet high and wide and deep. She was so excited. It must have been the most wonderful Christmas gift ever. The box was so large. When she tore it open on Christmas morning, it was the world's largest beanbag. And maybe that's not exciting to you, but to her, it was tremendous. It was the best gift ever. And when Grandpa and Grandma called on the phone and asked, "What did you get for Christmas?" she said, "A bean bag," and she was so excited. The shepherds are having that experience, but it's not about a bean bag. It's not about a gift that comes under the tree. This is Jesus who was born. And the Savior is not just a child and not just the child of a promise, but what I want to tell you tonight is that Jesus, the child of the promise, is the deliverer that every single person is looking for. You may be looking through all kinds of things in life. Maybe this time of year is really sad because you're missing loved ones. Those loved ones supplied such joy to you in the past, and now they are gone. Maybe you come to this point of year and your life is in flux because you're looking for a new job. The last one was not satisfying, and now you're thinking, what comes next? Maybe your life is not so happy because you're suffering with an illness of some sort. Whatever it is, you're looking for joy. You're looking for something to celebrate. You're looking for that thing you cannot keep inside. Let me tell you, all the other things that I've mentioned are nothing compared with this Jesus. Because this Jesus is the one who gives real, deep, satisfying joy. And the shepherds recognize that. And it is for that reason that they celebrate and they tell the story widely. They cannot keep it inside. And do you realize tonight as we're sitting here, there are other churches also celebrating Christmas Eve. Other churches will be celebrating tomorrow morning. Why is everybody celebrating? Because this news is too great to keep inside. Jesus, the Savior, is born. It is news to be told widely, here and there and everywhere. Sing it on the radio, shout it from the mountaintops. Jesus the Redeemer is born. He has come into the world to save sinners. And we are glad tonight to be able to say that one of the responses we might have to the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, good news to men," it is to tell that news widely. But then there is a second thing that we could see from this passage as well about a response to Christmas. It is not just the story told, but if you look in your Bibles or you're following along, maybe on the screen at verse 18, there's also a wonder here to behold. A story told and a wonder to behold. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." That's verse 16. Let me read verse 18. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them." Now, there's various kinds of wonderings. You might wonder, for example, what keeps the earth spinning around the sun. You might wonder why someone is so excited about getting colored pencils and paper for Christmas when you want cars and you want video games. Whatever it is, you might wonder at why other people are the way they are. The wonder that's found in this passage is not that kind of wonder. This is a different sort of wonder. This is a deep wonder. Different translations have words like they marveled, they were amazed, they were astonished. Why were they so astonished? For the same reason that the shepherds told this news widely. Because Jesus Christ has come. The Savior of the world has arrived. The one we've been anticipating for generations is now here. People can receive salvation, escape from their sin because of this child. That's why people wondered. Now, let me confess to you tonight, it's not easy to wonder in our culture. It's not easy to be amazed. In fact, if I go back to the time when I was some of your age, maybe so young as maybe 5 or 6 or 7, I remember a huge thing in my life my dad brought home. He was a construction worker, and at Christmas time, he brought home from one of his suppliers a little box about this big that we plugged into our TV. It was called Pong. Bong, bong, bong. Some of you don't even know what that means. I was amazed by it, that you could control paddles on a screen so a ball would bounce back and forth, I thought, who in the world thought of this? How is this possible? Connecting this little box to the TV by a wire is amazing. Today, no one's amazed by that. Amazement is much harder to find. Today, amazement doesn't even result from 4K televisions. I can remember the first time I saw a 4K television. I was watching a football game. I could see the stubble on Aaron Rodgers' face. I thought, this is tremendous. But even that didn't amaze me. Maybe you were amazed the first time you saw the Rocky Mountains. But now it's easy to travel. Everybody can see those things. The amazement that was easier to find in previous times is much harder to find, I'm suggesting, in our time. But let me tell you why you should be amazed tonight. I want you to think not about high-definition televisions or about the latest video game, which is amazing, by the way. I want you to think into your heart and what resides there. I want you to think even over the last day or two about the kinds of things that you've thought about. Maybe you've been full of fear. Maybe you've been anxious. Maybe you've been angry. Maybe you've been frustrated. I'm guessing if you're honest with me and those around you, you will say, not all of my life in the last few days has been wonderful and golden. Maybe I've thought some things, said some things, done some things that are really pretty awful. What I want you to be amazed with tonight is that the child born in Bethlehem can change not only what results from your heart, that is your tendency to want to do what is wrong. Jesus Christ can not only forgive your sin, Jesus Christ can change your heart. Can you imagine that? There's no one else in all the world who can do that. No one. You can look high and low, left and right, the latest technology. You can look to the furthest reaches of the earth, and no one in all the world can do what Jesus does. And that's why these people were amazed. Because they knew this child who is so small, the child like the children who are born now, he was just a small child. They knew that this child was more than just a baby. This is God come to earth. And because of that, what was going on in their own hearts and what happens in your hearts and what happens because of sin in our world in general, this can be overcome. Be amazed by who Jesus is. The third response that I want you to see from this passage is then what you read with Mary. We have the story told, the wonder behold, and now the truth deliberates. Look at what it says here about Mary and the way that she thought about this, verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, of all the people you would think who would be ready for Christmas Day, what we call Christmas Day, it would have been Mary. Mary had the experience that every woman who's given birth to a child has, and that is the child grows day after day until finally the baby is delivered. You'd think the mother would be prepared. And yet there's something about this Jesus that surprises even Mary. Because as Jesus is born, she knows that Jesus is her son. But Jesus is more than just her son. Jesus has come into the world to be the Savior of all who would be his. And you know what's interesting is we read in the Gospels, there are various times where even Mary is not sure how to respond to Jesus. Not very long into his life when he goes to Jerusalem with his family to worship. Mary herself is not sure what Jesus should be doing when he is there. And so even at this point, what we read about in this particular passage is Mary wondering, deliberating, who is this Jesus? And tonight I want to challenge you with the same thing. Not only be amazed by Jesus, listen to the story that is told, but I don't want you to leave here without deliberating carefully about who this Savior is, not just in general, but who is this Savior for you. Ponder that. Consider it. Because the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem was not born merely to be a child, to live an ordinary life and to die at the end like all of us are going to do. No, Jesus came into this world to do the greatest work the world has ever known. Greater even than the creation of the world is the redemption that comes in Jesus. And I want you to know that, friend. I want you to deliberate about that. I want you to consider it. That this Jesus calls you by the nature of his redemption to know him, to follow him, to really consider who he is. Which brings me to the fourth way to respond. There is the truth deliberate, and then finally tonight there is the child to celebrate. This comes in verse 20, the celebration of the child. It says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it has been told them." Of all the things that we are here to do tonight, and literally for a week we've been doing this, since last Sunday night when we had a praise service, where we sang all kinds of carols, and we rejoiced in the good news that Jesus has come. Here we are tonight on the eve of Christmas to celebrate that Jesus has come. If you are someone who has known Jesus for many, many years, I don't want you to leave here tonight without thinking again about the joy that Jesus brings. Don't let this be old hat. I know as I become older, one of the things that sort of escapes me is a way of looking at something new again. I've seen it before. If you have a child, one of the things that you're blessed with as your children grow up is you begin to see things that are very common to you through new eyes over and over again. Can you do that again tonight? And see Jesus again, this child who is to be celebrated for the first time? Or if you're not new, or if you are new rather, this isn't common to you. Could you see this tonight as a reason for great joy that Jesus has come into the world? Can you celebrate with the angels and the shepherds and later the Magi and Christians for generations who have gathered at times like this to say with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among whom he is pleased"? May I encourage you tonight to respond in that way with joy. I know it's kind of passé to say, you know, don't look at the presents, don't look at the tree, don't look at the lights, look at Jesus. But I want to encourage you to do more than that. To actually look and consider who Jesus is. And because of the greatness of Jesus and the freedom he brings, to celebrate from the depths of your being. This is Jesus. May your response to him, telling the story, pondering who he is, deliberating over the consequences, the implications of our Savior, and celebrating who he is, may this be your Christmas joy, my friend. Amen.